The following program is presented by the Far East Broadcasting Company because stories of people living out the gospel with their lives inspire all of us. FEBC, taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. Learn more at febc.org.
You are created in Christ Jesus to go and bear much fruit for Him. Use your talents, because if you use your talents, He promises that He will multiply those talents. Don't you want more love and peace and joy in your life? Well, go preach the gospel. Jesus says, go.
And our first-person guest is helping people find where Jesus wants them to go. Welcome to our program. I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll hear from Shane Mincer in just a moment. Before today's interview, let me say thanks for listening. First Person is here each week with the purpose of celebrating the work of Christ in people's lives and explore the many ways that God uses committed followers of Christ to serve in His kingdom. We've told hundreds of stories over the years on this program, and you can listen to them online at firstpersoninterview.com. Also, take a look at the schedule there at the website of upcoming programs. Also, a big thank you to the Far East Broadcasting Company for making First Person possible in the first place. Say thank you by taking a moment to visit febc.org and learn more about this gospel-centered ministry reaching millions around the globe. Our guest, Shane Mincer, is the managing partner and founder of Chief Talent Officer. Along with his wife, Renee, they assist people in finding the right fit as candidates in the workplace. Shane has much to say about finding our calling in life, and as we began, I asked him to describe his company and its mission.
Early on in the area of recruiting, a lot of people think about recruiting as a headhunter, someone that goes around and cutting people's heads off. But it's a full career. There are chief talent officers that are at Apple, at Google, at Amazon. And just like any calling in life, God gives us talents to excel, to serve other people. And my company's passion and desire is not just to be a chief talent officer for companies, but for people. It's very personal. It becomes, in a sense, when you're representing an individual to their next boss, you, in a sense, you put on that hat. And so that's kind of what I do for a living for the last, I've been in this business for 23 years. Chief Talent Officer is actually a name, didn't exist until the dot-com expansion in Silicon Valley, where recruiters were not just becoming talent guys, but what was happening is they were being elevated higher and higher to higher levels of authority within organizations. They generally reported to the head of HR, and then they became, in a sense, an executive on the board, because you know, Fortune companies realized the talent mattered. And so chief talent officers now around the world, there's thousands of them now, but I was one of the first in Silicon Valley that kind of incarnated the concept of being a chief talent officer. And so I started a business 23 years ago, started in LA. I didn't start alone. I worked with a 25-year vet out of Search Associates in Beverly Hills. And I realized I love people. And this is the kind of people business where I help people advance in their careers.
Well, we want to talk more about that in a few minutes, but I know that you do this as a calling of God, and you feel very strongly about that, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, I will be as bold and strong as I can, because I share people who's your boss apart from my wife, because she's also partner in my practice for almost 20 years since we've been married. But I believe Jesus Christ is the personal chief talent officer. I believe that with all my heart. I believe God gives to His body talents that are being given to one another. And we're called to even, I was just reading about the parable of the talents that Jesus talks about, and about using our talents. And so He gifts us talents to multiply them, to serve other people, to wash other people's feet through our talents. And so I have the honor and privilege. It's great because my clients pay me a lot of money to go out and do what I love to do, get on the phone, meet people, get to know their needs, what they want, what's motivating them, and then place them. And then they pay me for it. It's just, honestly, it's like it doesn't get old at all.
Yeah.
I love it.
I can
and
understand.
It fires me up.
Yeah, I can hear the love in your voice for what you do. And you mentioned your wife, that's Renee, who's your partner there in the business as well. Tell me about the rest of your family, Shane.
Well, I fell in love, got married right after going to school, and we both, Renee and I, of course, We are Southern California born, so we live here, here close to the ocean, here in Southern California.
I'm so sorry.
And God, it is raining like crazy right now. We pray for rain so that we have all that water to, you know, feed the world from Central Cali.
Sure.
And so getting back, so the Lord blessed us with two beautiful teenage daughters. So I'm also a father, and it's been a blessing in that sense to see, to also see their talents and their gifts and abilities being used by God in school as well as overseas.
Absolutely. Well, before we talk more about your calling, let's talk about your faith. When did you come to Christ, Shane?
Well, I was, you know, when I was came into this world, I was an only child, and I was brought up in a nominal Christian environment. My dad came from the Midwest, came out here and did his schooling, helped mobilize a million engineers, put a man on the moon as an aerospace engineer.
Wow.
And fell in love and, yeah, met my mom, and she was born and grew up in the San Fernando Valley. And they got married, and I, you know, was born into more of kind of the reform roots of our faith. I was baptized. One of my uncles was an Assembly of God minister, and I was baptized in it as an infant. But as I was growing up, we had some tragedy in life. Parents got divorced. We had our house burnt down, that lost our maid in the fire.
Oh.
And during that time period, it was a turning event in my life because, I mean, when tragedy hits, even when you're a kid 5 years old, and you try to make sense out of that, and so even though my parents, my dad kind of turned his back on the Lord, went his own way, my mom also kind of more nominal, we would, you know, celebrate Christmas and Easter, but it wasn't until I think I hit that depravity chip when I got to college, my first year of college, that I realized how sinful I was and am and still am by the grace of God. You know, so that's kind of in a nutshell. I mean, being brought up in the nominal faith, it wasn't until I had some life-changing events in my life that made me kind of cry out to the Lord. But it was really the Word of God that really got me.
Well, you hinted at something before we started recording our interview today. You hinted that Christian radio had a part in all this?
Yeah, absolutely. Share a little bit more about the conversion story. I was just graduated from high school, and at the time, I was pledging for a fraternity at Cal State Northridge. I was a business major. I was doing night classes because I was working with my dad's business for already 10 years in his in the seminar business and continuing education and engineering. And at the time, I had two other half brothers. My dad got remarried, and my brother Ryan was born with cystic fibrosis. Mm. And at the time, there was just so many things going on, and I had so many questions in life. Why would God allow my brother with CF to be born? And at the same time, one of my friend's dad killed himself. He was a top brain surgeon in L.A. And then also someone I really liked in high school, a drunk driver hit her, and they had to pull the plug on her.
Oh, goodness.
And so I had all of these things kind of going through my head. And I was coming back from an event in the fraternity, which I won't name. They did a lot of things that night that I'm ashamed to say I was doing. And I had to go the next day to work, and I was drinking that night. And I got pulled over, and I got a DUI that night. And I remember being in the holding tank and kind of crying out to God, saying, God, if you are real, if you have eyes, you know, to see who I am, I really need to hear your voice. I need to see you. And I had that night of crying out to God in that cell before my parents picked me up.
Mm.
And I felt so ashamed at that time, not just because of the DUI and driving and the influence, but that night, I don't want to say I heard a voice, but I just heard, maybe it was my own conscience, but I know that it was affirming God's calling of saying, you know, you could have killed someone like Sharon tonight. And that was the lady that got hit by the drunk driver.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that time where it was right around the end of the year in 87, my parents got me, I have the Bible on my desk right now. I still go back to my first Bible. It was a King James Open Bible. And I picked it up, and I couldn't go to sleep. I did days with tea all night. For that whole year, I went through the Word of God. And it consumed my life, so much so that my dad, I was working with, thought I was caught in a cult, because all I want to do is read my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of really God turning me around. I definitely, at Christmas of that year in 87, I don't know exactly that time, but I do believe that that night when I cried out to the Lord, He grabbed me, He heard my cries, and He delivered me out of hell. And transferred me into his kingdom.
That's a powerful
story. And
that was
the beginning.
Yeah.
It was really beginning. It was a major conversion, because immediately the next year we started attending First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood and became members. My mom, right around that time, she came to really rededicate her life to Christ, and just rolled up my sleeve and just wanted to pour my life into the church. I had a wonderful pastor at the time. His name was Lloyd Ogilvie, Dr. Lloyd Ogilvie.
Sure, well known.
And yeah, he had his Let God Love You Ministries. And right around that time, Michael Card, Fernando Ortega, everybody on the radio, Swindoll, you know. I would listen to John MacArthur and R.C. Sproul, and I would listen literally while I was going to Cal State Northridge night school. I would just turn on the radio, KKLA. I would probably listen to 3 hours on the radio.
Wow.
Of great teaching. And so, you know, so early on, of course, radio had a really big impact in my growing in the Lord. I definitely was committed to the church, getting, you know, becoming an active member at Hollywood Press for, I think, over 10 years, worked at the Lord's Lighthouse. I was a city dweller across the street with the Hollywood Urban Project. So I worked a lot of gang members and prostitutes. The Lord's Lighthouse, my mom was the cook for the Lord's Lighthouse, so we'd feed like 500 people a week at Hollywood Press. And so, you know, immediately it wasn't just like some ascent. I mean, I was like, my heart was just started teaching Bible studies, started, you know, leading people to Christ, and then got involved with other ministries like Billy Graham and his telephone ministries at Lake Avenue, and led people to the Lord after the Crusades. And it was just one of those things where, and at the same time, I was working full time with my dad that thought I was brainwashed.
So that's quite a story, though. I mean, it's amazing how God has led you, Shane. Thanks for telling us all this.
Well, I appreciate it. I feel like, you know, as you were saying, and the more that I see how God is, and I thank God, and just to let you know, I was faithful listening to all of In the Studio with Mike, with you, and then when I saw you guys got together, I literally would just start crying with joy, because you guys share the testimonies around the world with. I was just listening to Max, and I was thinking, man, I want to see him. I want to see the C.S. Lewis. I want to see him. Because God gifted him with so much talent. I mean, I'm talking Mike and Fernando and Max. I even though I don't know them, I know Mike, but I don't know all the people you have on your radio, but their testimonies and seeing what God is doing, it spurs me on to want to, like, do more for the Lord, you know? Of course, apart from Him, we can't do anything at all, but He equips us with talents, and I just want to do more for the Lord, you know? And if Moody did that, you know, Spurgeon did it, and so I'm just excited waiting for your ministry and to see. I hope that I can, you know, help get the word out and continue to see the ministry, especially the Far East Broadcasting Company, reach, you know, the billions for the Lord, because I do have a passion around the world. My ministry, or my business is a global business, so I sometimes open up offices around the world for law firms. I did it for one of my clients in China over 9 years ago. And what's been really awesome is that wherever I go, I'm constantly praying that God would open up the opportunity to share the gospel. But I'm going in from the vocational side of what people do. Because more people want to talk about themselves and what they're doing, you know. So the idea for me has always been, if I could touch 5,000 people a year on the just getting on the phone and picking up the phone, and maybe out of those 5,000, 100 hear the call. You know, that's where I feel like where God's using me in my ministry, and in that sense.
We'll continue getting acquainted with Shane Mincer of Chief Talent Officer coming up on First Person. Stay with us.
Listening to your station is my first priority when I get home. Sometimes I even listen twice. First on the radio and then through the internet. Thank you for all your hard work.
The Far East Broadcasting Company receives millions of responses each year from grateful listeners. FEBC is dedicated to taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. To learn more, please visit febc.org. That's febc.org. The Far East Broadcasting Company, until all have heard. My guest is Shane Mincer. Shane is managing partner, founder of Chief Talent Officer. You've heard his testimony here today on First Person. Shane, it's a joy to talk with you, and I got to tell you, I never tire of hearing how God leads people, how he brings them to salvation, how he leads them into pretty unique things, and you have a unique job and company, of course. Let's talk more about God's call on a person's life. I know you work in many arenas, but one of them has to do with how God does call people into ministry. So talk to me about what you've learned.
Well, it's hard to find what God wants you to do, even at an early age. I know, I mean, I early on, I lived across the street from a golf course, and I was probably 10 years old, and a golf ball was knocked in front of our house, and I got it, and I thought to myself, I wonder if a golfer would want to buy this. And sure enough, he did. I found four, and I made a buck off of four balls. Well, I had a golf ball retrieving business for 4 years, and I realized something about that early on calling. Just like Joseph and just like David tending sheep, God early on is developing talent in us to utilize us for his glory. But one of the things I find early on is we're challenged. Am I called to be a pastor? Am I called to be an evangelist? Am I called to be a nurse, a doctor, a scientist, an engineer? Well, God uses all of those. The priesthood of all through the Reformation especially focused on the doctrine of vocation, that we are all called by God. You might be called to be a mom right now, or a son, or a daughter, or a mother, or a grandmother. And there's certain times that God calls us for certain kinds of events. And sometimes we have to, first of all, we have to hear God's calling, because he's calling all of us to serve him and worship him in what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that matters. That has significance. And so for me, it took some time. After the conversion, I was working with my dad's business, very successful seminar business, but that's not what God was calling me to do. I found my calling empowering people to in their vocation where they're at. You could be an accountant. You could be an attorney for Christ. You could be a janitor for Christ. You could be a plumber for Christ. And so that the idea of all of us coming to our vocation and our calling, and then accepting that and doing it for the glory of God. So that's really where, you know, I think the crossroads for me, my passion is I want to mobilize the world for Christ through talent, through the gifts and talents and abilities. And if I can be a Barnabas, like to Paul, or a Barnabas to other people, to encourage, to build them up, to edify them, to say, great job. You know, and to be able to do that in one's career.
Can I take you back? You were talking a moment ago about what I call this false dichotomy that we set up between ministry and vocation. Some people feel that they're not involved in, you know, the church or a parachurch organization. They're not really serving the Lord with their vocation. But that's a false dichotomy, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think the reality is that we separate the sacred from the holy. You know, God says, don't call anything, you know, unholy that's holy. You know, when we're sanctified by the Lord, he wants a vessel of honor, as Paul, you know, said to the Corinthian church, that we are called, we're holy, we're sanctified, we're set apart. God can use us anywhere we are called to do. We're called to do all things unto the Lord for the glory of God, right? That's the highest calling, is to serve. He can use anyone. If he can use a donkey, right, to speak through a prophet, he can use anyone, and sometimes we're reluctant, like Jonah. Sometimes we get to that point where we don't want to do God's will, and we have to repent. We need, Lord, you have called us. You might be the only Jesus to that person right now in that city in China. You might be the only Jesus to that person on their deathbed, and you have the honor and the privilege. You could be the hands and feet for Christ. You can make that impact wherever you're at. And don't think that, oh, I'm not a pastor, or I'm not this, I'm not that. Yes, you are. You are created in Christ Jesus to go and bear much fruit for him. Use your talents, because if you use your talents, he promises that he will multiply those talents. Don't you want more love and peace and joy in your life? Well, go preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, go.
Well said.
Go next door. You don't have to go to China. You don't have to go to Asia. You don't have to go to Europe. But if God wants to use you in Europe and China, and he's calling you there, then go. But guess what? It might just be go next door and take care of your daughter that's sick right now at home.
Shane, I just have a moment left here, but for the person who maybe is struggling with where they are in life and what they're doing and feel that they're not contributing to God's kingdom, how would you advise them to pray? What should they pray about?
First, I would want to make sure that, one, that they have that right relationship with God through Christ, and that his Holy Spirit would illumine and give them direction. The Lord is our shepherd. He guides us and directs us in all that we do. He promised if we acknowledge him in all of our ways that he'll direct our path. And that's why it's important, one, to make sure that you're dwelling richly in the word of God, and that you're allowing God to use you. God can use you in anything you're doing right now. And it's just as simple, it might be just a word of encouragement to someone right now that's down and out. Maybe a friend that you haven't talked to. You know, maybe there's someone that you need to get right with. You know, I think doing the will of God and hearing our calling sometimes, it's not a big thing. It might be just a word that the Lord is just speaking right now to you and just says, you need to do this. Well, just, you know, go do it. We have an adversary that wants to rob, cheat, steal, and destroy. He wants us not to preach the gospel. He doesn't want us to be a Barnabas. He doesn't want us to be a Paul to other people. He doesn't want us to share the love of Christ with other people. Put on the full armor every day. I'm an early riser. I love getting up early and having mountaintop experiences of solitude and silence with the Lord, because I could be on the phone with 100 people in a day. God equips us and gives us what we need. And I just want to encourage anyone that's listening right now that he is with you. He promised, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But he calls us, I will give you what you need. You know, so ask God, you know, pour out your heart to him through journaling. Now, this is a powerful area I learned, not just through the Reformation with Jonathan Edwards and others, but even my own dad got me into the power of journaling. Confess everything to him. Acknowledge him. I mean, just get it all out on paper. You know, find out, Lord, where your heart's at. Wherever your heart is, there shall your treasure be. Maybe the Lord's calling you to repent of certain things in your life, so he can use you more effectively. I know he does that with me on a regular basis, because I don't want to be full of myself. I don't want a shame show. I don't want to think about myself anymore. I want to think about Christ and the power of his resurrection. So you got me on fire.
Well, I'm glad that Shane was on fire, helping us understand how important it is to follow Christ, including with how we're spending our life. Shane Mincer is the Managing Director and Founder of Chief Talent Officer, and we'll place a link to his company on our website, firstpersoninterview.com. I'm grateful for the many professionals who make up the team at the Far East Broadcasting Company. From professional broadcasters to engineers and managers, the whole team at FEBC is committed to sharing Christ with the world through radio and new media, including extensive use of the internet and smartphone apps in many countries. FEBC will soon be celebrating its 75th anniversary and is just as excited about its ministry as the day it was formed in the 1940s. Learn more about what you can do to assist FEBC in its mission by visiting febc.org. Now, with thanks to my friend and producer Joe Carlson, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us next time for First Person.